You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Productions, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
Would you like to create financial stability, longevity, and prosperity in your life? I am Atiba Thompson, and welcome to Becoming Financially Fit for Life, a program that will help individuals avoid financial hardships. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Call me now at 877-932-9766 to become financially fit for life. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Atiba on Becoming Financially Fit for Life, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Now, this show is designed to help individuals avoid financial hardships, and how we do that is creating financial stability with a vision and a plan. What we have found is most people have a vision, but not everyone has a plan, and we believe a vision without a plan is just a hallucination, but a vision with a plan is innovation. So we want to start getting more innovators out there to get their vision, to get a plan, and put something behind it and start innovating and things of the sort. Now, this show is brought to you by Ubiquitous Financial, ubfine.com. Now, if this is your first time joining in to the show Financially Fit for Life, go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and look up our show Financially Fit for Life under programs and check out some of my other shows. On our shows, we have discussed, you know, how to clean, repair, and establish a positive credit profile, how to buy homes with instant equity, how to work with realtors and work with lenders and things of the sort. Also, the importance of having life insurance, how to find the right life insurance for you. There's different terms. There's whole life. There's term. There's just a variety of life insurance policies. And it's just best to work with a professional that can educate you. And on our show, we've kind of talked to you about the different type of life insurance policies, along with some health insurance. We've talked about health insurance as well. There are a variety of types of health insurance, and long-term care is one of the biggest things we need to start looking out for, because, hey, if you have money in the bank and things of the sort, a lot of times if you have to go to a nursing facility, they're going to take all of those assets. So long-term care is another part of health insurance that we've talked about on this show. We've also told you how to invest or plan for retirement through annuities, 401ks, IRAs, mutual funds. We have some very, very good individuals on our show, companies and organizations that have kind of shared their insight on really how to plan for retirement and things like that. And one of my favorite topics on the show that we've talked about is entrepreneurship. You know, we have to use our 9-to-5 as a stepping stone rather than a plateau. So it's very, very important for us individuals to get back to becoming entrepreneurs rather than talking about the job market or job stability and worrying about that. What we're going to start doing is creating jobs and things like that. So that's what we do on this show. We provide the tips and techniques to help individuals become financially fit for life. We don't motivate you. We just empower you. Once you're done listening to our show, you should understand how to become or create financial stability. So, which brings us to our topic today, and it comes from the Wall Street Journal, and it deals with short sales. Now, this topic, the topic or the title basically states that a short sale may not mean that you're home free. So I have a very, very special guest in the studio with us, Abby Moore of Ask Abby Realty, and she'll be giving us some insight on really how short sales work and things like that, showing us how to actually make these things go through and just figuring out if we are in the position to get a short sale. So the topic on the Wall Street Journal basically states that, you know, financially troubled borrowers may think that foreclosure or short sale of their home means that their mortgage woes are over, but that's not necessarily. Some homeowners are finding that when they sell their homes for less than the outstanding mortgages, a so-called short sale, their mortgage companies are going after them for some or all of the difference. Mortgage companies are also sometimes taking legal action to recover unpaid amounts after foreclosure is completed. In a growing number of cases, holders of mortgages or home equity loans are requiring borrowers in short sales to sign a promissory note, which is a promissory note or a written promise to pay back a loan or a debt. Real estate agents and attorneys say that they have seen an increase in requests for some or for promissory notes as mortgage companies look to short sales as an alternative for foreclosure. In many states, lenders have always had the right to pursue former homeowners for unpaid mortgage debt. Yet until recently, most homeowners who ran into trouble were usually able to refinance or sell their homes to pay off these loans. Now, falling home prices and widening the gap between home values and mortgage balances, and the number of homeowners who can't make their mortgage payments is rising as the economy is weakened. More than 3.8 million homes were lost in 2010-2011 because borrowers can't make their mortgage payments. Now, going back to a previous show we had, when it comes to purchasing a home, you know, there's some things that we have to look at, and they're called the three C's. When you purchase a home, the first C is called the credibility. That's your credit, how well you've paid your bills in the past and in the present. The next one is your capability, how much you're bringing in versus how much you're going out. And on the capability, I'm just going to stop right there on the second C, because a lot of individuals that are facing short sale or foreclosures have went to the bank and asked them what they qualify for. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that individuals can make nowadays, is asking somebody else in a capitalist society what they really qualify for. And when it comes to that, a bank is only basing what you qualify for off of your gross amount. Now, I'm not sure how many listeners out there today are getting paid gross, because the majority of the people that I know get paid net. So immediately, these banks and financial institutions are telling you that you can afford more than what you really can. So the first C, once again, is credibility, how well you've paid your bills in the past and the present. And I'll also give you some tips and techniques, and I've done that on previous shows, but how to clean, repair, and establish credit history by disputing items, keeping balances low compared to credit limits, things like that. If you need some assistance, you can always call into the show or reach me at Atiba@youbefine.com, Atiba@youbefine.com, and I can give you some more insight on how to clean, repair, and establish a positive credit profile. So the second C, once again, is your debt ratio, your capability, how much you're bringing in versus how much is going out. And that's called debt ratio as well. And banks will tell you that you qualify 45% of your gross income. But we have to remember, none of us get paid off of the gross. And the third C is your collateral. How much money you have in the bank, 401ks, IRAs, mutual funds. How many organizations or how many classes did you attend, first-time homebuyer classes, like we've had Columbus Housing Partnership on the show, the Urban League, things like that. If you have or if you're in need of collateral, down payment assistance money, any of those things, if you attend a nonprofit organization like a Columbus Housing Partnership, they'll be able to assist you with the collateral. So even before buying a home or going to a lender to get financed, you have to understand the three C's, which is the credibility, the capability, and the collateral. So before we even dive into short sales, we just need to get those fundamentals out. Now, once again, we have Ask Abby, Abby Moore, in the studio with us, and she's going to be giving us some of the tips and techniques on how to really work with a real estate professional, how to do short sales, and just some other tips and techniques on really how to become a successful homeowner. Now, I've worked with Abby for over, wow, it's been so many years, I don't even want to tell you my age, but she is truly, truly a professional that looks out for her client's best interest first. So we're going to give Abby Moore a chance to introduce herself and tell our listeners a little bit about you. How you doing, Abby?
Hey, Tiba, running like always. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to have you on my show. Finally, girl. We've done a lot of business together, and I just really couldn't wait to get you on the show just so you could share your expertise on how we can educate our people to become successful homeowners or do a successful short sale. So basically what we want to go into right now, I read a little article from the Wall Street Journal, and the Wall Street Journal once again is basically stating just because you've done a short sale does not mean that you are home free. So I want to give you, or I want you to give me a little insight about, first of all, what a short sale is, but who you are and why you're different than the other realtors and real estate companies out here.
I'm not going to say different, but I will say good.
I heard that.
I've became licensed in 2003, have over 10 years mortgage experience, and I love what I do. When it comes to being different, or what I do for my clients, it's a personal touch. Real estate is such a personal, intimate beast. It's not like anything else. It's nothing you can do generic across the board with all clients. And getting to know the clients, their needs, and making sure at the end of the day that they are happy and in a healthy situation for their family.
Right, and that's very important to have somebody who is more relationship-driven rather than just business-driven. I mean, we run into a lot of realtors right now that won't talk to individuals if the dollar amount's not high enough or things like that, but you've been really good with working with all different type of people, no matter the dollar amount, and just building that relationship and educating them on how to become a successful homeowner. So, I mean, for instance, if I was to, to buy a home or want to buy a home, what marketing strategies would you use to find me one?
You know what? That's a great question. 98% of all buyers find their own home on the web, believe it or not. But we have so many tools to get homes out there. In addition to becoming familiar with what you're looking for, that's the location, location, location. That's the most important, to narrow down what your family needs based on school, finances, location, parks, where you need to be on so far as the side of the city. Once that's narrowed down, and then get into the home that you're looking for, like your basic needs, bedrooms, bathrooms, garages, accessibilities. What we do is, in addition to the MLS, because it's most definitely not enough, we actually go out. And I look at a lot of houses. I like looking at houses. I try to look at least 20 to 30 a week. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to me, I would like to have a familiarity with your neighborhood that you're looking with the interest. And you really don't have to look at 20 houses. If you're with an agent and you're looking at 20 to 30 houses, chances are either the agent is not clear on what you're looking for or you're not ready to buy. It's not 20 houses out there that fit your needs.
Right, right. So it's more or less finding the goals first rather than just trying to sell them something. You're going to find out
Absolutely.
What their goals are and really try to help them exceed their goals rather than sending them, taking them around 20, 30 houses, wasting a lot of time.
Absolutely. If you know that you're not financially ready or able, or you don't have the resources to do rehabs, that's not something we'll look at.
How do you know if you're financially ready? Is that when you send them to a lender? How does that work? I mean, how does the process work when it comes to buying a home? What is the first thing, if I wanted to come to you to purchase a home, would you tell me something different? I mean, what would you tell me?
Lead with money. First, that's the first and foremost. I mean, it's whenever you're doing any commerce, money is important. You can't go to Kroger's and buy eggs without the money.
Sure.
So let's get your finances together. The first thing you need to do before you even buy a home is become financially ready. Talk mm-hmm. to a lender. Based on that, they can give you steps if you're not ready on what you need to do. There are several nonprofit organizations which assist home buyers into becoming ready. But I really suggest people have a minimum of $1,500 additional to what they need to bring just for the buying process. I mean, really, $1,000 to $3,000 in savings, because things come up when you move into a new home. You're going to want to buy new furniture. You do not want to live hand to fist when you're a homeowner.
So the first step, more or less, is talk to a lender or mortgage company like Omniscient Real Estate Finance Corporation, which I'm the president of. And then basically once you have this pre-qualification letter, then they can begin taking a look at some properties with you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that what we can do while you're getting financially ready, you can always start the process of looking before you actually go on shopping. It's no different than a car or, you know, a very expensive pair of shoes. If you know you're ready to buy within 6 months to a year, okay, let's start narrowing down the neighborhoods. At the same time, while you're getting financially ready so far as making sure that you have what it takes so far as a down payment, your classes, your home buying education classes to receive assistance, or whatever you need to do to get your family together, in reference to packing, your lease may be up. You may need to sell your own home. At the same time, you can start looking.
Right.
You can start looking 2 to 3 months before. I would suggest if you're almost ready to call an agent, don't wait till you're ready or when you have to buy because you have to relocate. The best time to start is maybe, I would say, 30 days before you're ready to actually get in there good.
Now, picking an agent may be difficult. I mean, obviously not with you because that Ask Abby character really, really is different than other real estate companies. And I just know you personally. I know how you work. But how does individuals who may not know you pick a realtor or things like that? I mean, who's the right one? Who's the wrong one? How do you find that out?
That's a great question. First of all, you need to start off with what you know. If you are fluid in the area of real estate and you know what you're doing, then you want an agent that also know what they're doing, but having a novice agent won't hurt you because you know. If you are new in the game, you want an experienced agent. Not only that, you want an experienced team. You want someone that can make suggestions and that you'll be open to listening to. Home buying education is something I suggest that everybody do, regardless if you need a down payment or not, just so you can have be empowered with the right information to even ask the right questions. When it comes to an agent, full-time agents or part-time agents depends on your life. You want someone who can actually listen to what you're and give you the time that you need. Not really hold your hand, but that can be available to answer the questions you need and have the tools that you need. If you need email, if you're electronic, you don't talk on the phone line because of your job or your family situation, and you need text, if you need technology and applications, you need an agent who does technology. If you don't really like technology and you want somebody that can come to you and they can show you listings because you don't have emails, you need to make sure that that person can do that as well.
Understandable. So basically, once I get pre-approved, I come see you, I start looking at homes. I mean, what defines a successful homeowner? I mean, there's a lot of different individuals that have been homeowners, and that's when we're going to talk more or less about the short sale for those individuals who wasn't as successful as others. But in your opinion, what defines a successful homeowner?
At the end of the day, if you close on a transaction and your real estate team was able to facilitate a win-win where you feel good about the house, you feel good about the price, you feel good about the condition of the home, and you feel like this is a home that you can own, that's what we need to understand, the first concept. Buying a home, the purpose of buying a home is for you to pay it off or to sell it and buy another home. So at the end of the day, if you're in a home where you financially feel comfortable that you can make the payment and still keep your livelihood, that's a good, successful home buyer.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Well, the economy right now is really in some turmoil. So obviously we have a lot of successful homeowners, and then we have some other individuals that just didn't have the same success as others. So when it comes to those who didn't, foreclosure is one of the reasons or one of the things that happen if a person's not successful. Then there's another thing called like a short sale. And I know you're an expert in the short sale category, so I really want to talk to you a little bit more about that. And what is a short sale?
If anybody have any other questions, they can always call me on my office at 614-444-2229 or my website, which is under construction, the AskAbbyTeam.com, and that's AskAbby.com. In reference to a short sale, many, many Americans are facing foreclosure for many different reasons. The economy most definitely, just all around the board affected everyone. So you have, what I see a lot, believe it or not, is when I look at short sales or bank-owned properties, foreclosed properties, a lot of homeowners did a lot of work themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And either they ran out of money or the repairs were terrible, so now you got leakage, you have mold, and they can't afford to maintain the home plus pay for it, and some just simply decide to walk away. Even though HGTV is a great tool, but keep in mind they have 20 and 30 people on their team doing those repairs, you have to be mindful of that. And doing a short sale is basically when you negotiate a realtor or a real estate professional, you have decided you don't want to keep your home. That's the first thing. The biggest question is, do you want to keep your home or not? If you're looking to keep your home, I would suggest you reach out to your city's Urban League, Columbus Urban League, CHP here in the city, Homeport, NID.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these organizations which they negotiate with your bank for you for free in order for you to do a loan modification, okay?
Okay.
And basically, you're trying to reduce your price of your monthly payment or your interest rate just so we can make your home affordable, okay? That's that pocket of people. Then if you decide for whatever reason that you don't want to keep your home, you can't keep your home, you can't afford the maintenance, you can't afford the utilities, you have lost your job, there's a divorce, someone has passed, for whatever reason you decide you don't want to keep your home, there's the short sale.
I'm going to hold that thought right there. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and the home of Brother K, educating the liberate on Conversate in the AM. Stay right there. More with Abby Moore of Ask Abby up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles. But the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRIS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Atiba on Becoming Financially Fit for Life. You may join in on the conversation by calling 877-932-9766. We have a special guest in the studio with us, Abby Moore of Ask Abby Realty, and she's been giving us a little bit of insight about how short sales work. Now, the topic comes from a Wall Street Journal article, "A short sale may not mean you're home free." Now, financial trouble borrowers may think that foreclosure or short sale of their homes mean the mortgage woes are over, but not necessarily, because some homeowners are finding out when they sell their homes for less than the outstanding mortgages, a so-called short sale, their mortgage companies are going after them for the difference. Mortgage companies are also sometimes taking legal action to recover unpaid amounts after the foreclosure is completed. In a growing number of cases, holders of mortgages and home equity loans are requiring borrowers in short sales to sign a promissory note, which is a written promise to pay back the loan or debt. Real estate agents and attorneys say that they've seen an increase in requests for promissory notes as mortgage companies look to short sale as an alternative of foreclosure. And in many states, lenders have always had the right to pursue former homeowners for unpaid mortgage debt. Yet until recently, most borrowers who ran into trouble were able to refinance or sell their homes to pay off their loans. Now, with falling home prices and widening the gap between home values and mortgage balances, and the number of homeowners who can't make their mortgage payments is rising as the economy has weakened. So more than 3.8 million homes were lost in 2010 to 2011 because borrowers can't make their mortgage payment, according to the forecast from MoodysEconomy.com. So that's why we have Ask Abby, Abby Moore in the studio with us, giving us some insight, because from our understanding, when you sold your home through a short sale, you were pretty much good to go, but it sounds like that's not necessarily true, Abby. Can you give me a little bit more clarification on first, once again, for our listeners who's just joining in, what a short sale is, and some of the repercussions of doing that, or positives about doing that?
In reference to a short sale is basically when you negotiate with your, when your realtor or your real estate professional negotiate with your lender or lenders or lien holders to take less than what you owe on a house. For instance, your house is only worth $40,000, but you owe $120,000. We actually put the house on the market as if it's a traditional sale, and we negotiate with the lender to take less than what's owed. So that's a short sale. And don't get it confused with a time frame, because short sales can take anywhere from 30 days to, you know, a year. We are seeing them being completed a lot faster now. In reference to the deficiency balance, unfortunately, in my experience, you do not receive notice of what your lender's intentions are with a short sale until you receive the approval, which is at the very end of the process. I have not had any, in my particular experience, I have not had any deficiency balances that were not forgiven and that was understood in writing at closing. But you do get that letter. They can ask you to bring money from closing if they see that you have a large amount of retirement. There is some different things that you're negotiating with your lender. So having a realtor or a real estate professional who understands the in and outs of short sales is empowering. And the difference with, let's talk about the most important thing right now, one important things right now. We do not need any more foreclosed homes. We don't need any more empty homes or vacant homes in our neighborhoods, period. And we're talking about from the inner city to the suburbs. And the government realized that. Right now what they're doing is they're offering up to $3,000 as a grant or money back to the homeowner at closing. So what that means is if you stay in your home and you perform a short sale over walking away, you can get up to $3,000 to help you relocate and get your life back on track somewhere else. The lowest I've seen is $1,000, and the most I've seen, like again, is the max, which is $3,000. You receive it at closing, and there's nothing to apply for, there's no tax credit. You sign the documents, the buyer gets the keys, you get a check.
Okay, well, you know, on some loans, they have what's called PMI, and private mortgage insurance, and really that's an insurance to cover the lender just in case I default or get foreclosed on. So in a short sale situation, if I'm paying PMI, why would they come back for me for a deficiency balance when I've already paid the mortgage insurance to cover them in case of my defaulting?
That's a great question. The mortgage insurance is not for you. It's for the lender. And you pay for the premium. You pay for the lender's premium. Basically, you say, hey, I don't have 20% down, Tiba, and I need this house. I need $1,000. Can you loan me $100,000? And you say, well, Abby, you have some credit issues. Your credit is strong, but I'm not sure. Please, Atiba, could you loan me $100,000? And you say, you know what? If you buy the insurance to protect my interest, I'll give you the money.
Right.
So the insurance doesn't insure you, and you're not the insuree. It's the lender who is the insurance that receives payment if you default. You still have a promise to pay, which is a promissory note you close that you agreed to pay at closing. That's what you're responsible for.
So even at the short sale, I may still be required to have a promissory note?
You know what? You can have, I have not, in my experience, had that. And I think what happened with the Wall Street Journal, every real estate market is different.
Sure.
And so you may have an area that's in Washington or California, you know, or Atlanta, something like that, that is what they're seeing. I have not seen it here in Columbus yet.
Okay. Well, what if I have a first and a second mortgage? How does that work when it comes to a short sale? They combine them both? And then we agree upon a short sale. I'm just not sure how that works.
What happened is, again, the negotiated amount is on the backside, which your real estate professional does. And so at closing, there may be, if you have homeowners insurance, I'm sorry, homeowners association, condo fees, you may owe the roofer. Any liens that are attached to your home has to be negotiated for less than what is owed. So you can have a stack of mortgage and say, no, I don't want to accept what the first mortgage is telling me. On the average, the first mortgage pretty much lets you know how much the second mortgage can get. So, you know, you may owe your second mortgage $50,000. They may get $1,500.
Wow. You know, I just received a question from Kelly out in Reynoldsburg, and she says, I'm interested in a house. In this house, owners divorced and walked away. The bank that holds the second is trying to short sell the house. Two offers have been placed, $250,000, $200,000. I plan to offer a bit more than the offer, but the realtor called and said the lender Countrywide will not take any less than the appraised amount that just came in at approximately $300,000. So when it comes to those type of things, I know we kind of switched it from the one who needs to do a short sale to someone who's looking to buy a short sale, but can you answer her question? She's trying to figure out, well, what's next? If that lender will not accept less than the appraised value, does it go to auction? She's confused about why the second mortgage company is doing a short sale and not the primary.
No, it's not. If I understood her correct, that's a great question. The primary is actually the main negotiator. It's like the, think about a pyramid.
Sure.
And you're trying to climb this pyramid of all these people that's owed. The person who's owed the least or the that are secondary, thirdary, fourth on the mortgage, they get no say.
Right.
Pretty much. But they can agree. They can disagree with releasing the lien. What her situation is, if it's a FHA loan off the bank, there's a certain amount of percentage that from the appraisal that the lender has in that across the board. If you're buying a house in Columbus or in Texas, that's a federal, okay? What needs to happen is she needs to wait, or if she's working with a real estate company, they can actually go in with comps and say, hey, this house is not worth this because it's going to go on the market. The listing agent has to put it back on the market for whatever price the lender said he would accept. So after a while, when you see no one is offering that price, they're not getting any insurance. In our particular case, what we do is we show the lenders, hey, this house has been on the market for 60 days. We're not receiving any showings. This price is too high. This house needs this amount of work. The lender doesn't know. Anything that needs to be done so far as repairs and estimates need to be presented to them. This house is worth this if this much work is done. Let's say the house is in perfect condition and it's still overpriced for the market and there's no comps or it's just not selling. You can also write into the lender stating why this house is inferior to other homes in the neighborhood. For instance, have one home in Pickerton, beautiful neighborhood, beautiful home. But compared to the rest of the homes in the neighborhood, it just didn't have the bells and whistles. Beautiful large home, but there was no hardwood floors, no stainless steel, no granite, which is customary for the area. I had the house on the market for 3 months. We went to the lender, hey, this is what these houses look like. We actually showed them active listings in the neighborhood. This is what they usually have. This is what this house has. These are the comments, because every realtor that saw the property said the same thing. The house didn't have the upgrades. So we actually sent 9 or 10 feedback responses from the realtor, sent it to the lender. The house is on the market for $241,000. I have it in contract for
$200,000. Wow.
You do have to, when I say negotiating, it's basically you pushing the white paper across the desk.
Sure.
So if you are looking to take advantage if as a buyer and really get a good deal on a short sale, if you have to move next month, short sales may not be the way for you to go, because right, anything can come up.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're doing a lot of work for a short sale. I mean, especially if it can take between 30 to, mm-hmm, you know, 12 months. And, I mean, I know the person that you are because I know you, but a lot of individuals that's listening may not really know, and they want to know, well, if you're going to do all this work, how are you compensated?
That's a great, great question. And I'm about to just shock half of Columbus. That's a great, great question. Short sales is a different process over the listing process. When you are passing by a home, you don't know the difference if it's a short sale, unless the sign says short sale. You don't know the difference between a short sale or a HUD or a traditional sale. The same amount of work has to go into that particular part, marketing the home, getting it ready for sale, okay? The short sale, the behind-the-scenes part, is very, very intricate. very, very intricate. Every bank is different. Every process is different. Like I said, you may have a water bill on your lien. It's so many different things. If you have down payment assistance from the city, I have to negotiate with the city. So as a listing agent, the bank pays me my commission. Okay?
So wait. Time out. You're going to do all this work for me. You're going to basically go out there, find me a home, take me around, mm-hmm. and I don't have to pay you?
As a buyer, you don't have to pay. In most incidents, you should not have to pay. And realtors will pay at closing for the listing part. So for us, the short sale, our office charged $399 to the seller just to negotiate and get it done for them. That part is, but as a buyer, you don't have to pay anything up front for your realtor. And even if you're looking to buy a new home, all those expenses are paid for by the seller.
Really? Wow. Well, let me ask you another question. Since, I mean, the buyer sounds like it has great assets or great benefits to being a buyer.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Let me cut you off real quick because there are a lot of big four companies, Coldwell Banker, ERA is who I'm with, the Ask Abby teams with ERA Realty, Century 21. A lot of them do charge an admin fee at closing. I'm seeing them anywhere from $199 to $395. That's something that's at closing, at the closing cost. As a buyer, you shouldn't have any upfront real estate costs. But if you want to give your realtor a couple of dollars for gas, that's so fair. It's so worth.
I can't take so much, girl. You know,
you want to get a gift card to your realtor for all the driving? Because I fill up every other day, three times a week.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm on the finance and financial side, so it's more or less, you know, the individuals come see me in the office, but I know you have to take them around and really, you know, spend a lot of time with them on this house and that house and that house, so.
But you know what I try to do, once I have a client and I know what you want, we go see a few houses. I look for your houses without you. When I show you houses, it's the best of what you said you wanted. So, I mean, just because right now everybody's busy, the time is short, especially if you're a parent. It gets dark at 6, you're at work all day, so our time is valuable. I don't really practice showing 20 houses to a client.
Right. So the benefit of a short sale, it doesn't affect me, it sounds like a foreclosure. I mean, obviously you said there's incentives for individuals that want to short sale, but just don't walk away. I mean, the government now is giving $3,000, so obviously there are some great benefits to doing a short sale. I mean, tell me a little bit more about the short sale and some of the positives, the negatives. I mean, just give me some insight.
The positive is you get to sleep. Usually families come to me who've lost their job, divorced, separated, bought too much house, mm-hmm. utility bills, and really, I have a mother who's working two jobs, and she can't spend time with her kids because she's really struggling to keep her home that she loves.
Right.
So the positive is really the hair stopped coming out. Yeah. You're not cranky anymore because it's such a large decision for most people. Usually when people just walk away from their home, it's like, okay, I don't know what else to do.
Right.
So not only do the short sale allow you a little more time to stay in your home while you plan, you don't have to worry about the bank actually, because the foreclosure, most banks will stop the foreclosure process while the short sale is going on.
Okay, so I'm going to hold you right there because short sale, foreclosure, now those are two different things though. So do I have to, I mean, foreclosures, obviously you've been delinquent in mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm.
On the short sale, do I have to be delinquent on my mortgage payments?
That's a great question. No. It was a time that lenders wanted you to hurt, so they want your credit to be damaged. Because we have to show your financials. So we actually do a matrices of how much you have coming in, how much you're going out, why you can't afford this. Okay, I make $5,000 a month. I owe $6,700 and my car just broke down
right.
a month. So we actually prove to the bank that financially you cannot hold this house anymore. Okay? So if we can prove that and you have perfect credit and you've never been late on your mortgage, the bank will still approve your short sale.
Okay, they will. Okay, because I know a lot of times, like you said, back in the day, you
yes.
had to have some lates and it put a lot of individuals in a really, really tough situation because, you know, yes, I'm going to walk away from this house because I can't afford it, but I want to buy another home. But when they're delinquent, it kind of disqualifies them from being able to buy another home. So this is some very, very good information on understanding what a short sale is. Now, this is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and it's on the move with your smartphone or your tablet device. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and check out our blogs or podcasts. You can listen live and participate every Thursday at 3 o'clock live at 877-932-9766. Stay right there. More with Abby. More of Ask Abby up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. 1-2 snuggle. ... JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? ? We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lou Diamond Phillips. When your children are born, you want to give them the moon and the stars. But as they get older, their needs become more complicated. Their problems harder to solve. They're faced with decisions that can affect their future. The Boys Town National Hotline can help you guide your children through the tough times. Just call 1-800-448-3000 for a free brochure with practical tips on parenting. Because your love and support are more important than the moon and the stars. The Boys Town National Hotline.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Atiba on Becoming Financially Fit for Life. You may join in on the conversation by calling 877-932-9766. We have Ask Abby of Abby, or Abby Moore of Ask Abby Real Estate in the studio with us, and she's been giving us some insight about how short sales are working and some of the things we could look at when becoming a successful homeowner. So Abby was telling us before our quick intermission about short sales and how they work and the positives and the negatives, the pros and cons of actually doing a short sale. So we're going to jump right back into it, and we really wanted to know the difference between a short sale, I guess, and a foreclosure, maybe, Abby.
Hey, Tiva, real quick, could you repeat that number for me, the call-in number?
Sure, that number is 877-932-9766.
Perfect. Actually, somebody texted me, like, what is the number?
You're getting it on, girl. You're getting it on.
I'm trying. I must say I do love what I do. Most days I do love real estate.
I heard that. Sounds like we have a caller on the line with us right now. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I had a question for Ask Abby.
All right.
Hey, who am I speaking with?
Yeah, if someone wanted to buy a house and start looking for a property and buy that as a short sale. What's the best way to get started in something like that?
Ask the question one more time for me.
If someone was wanting to buy a house and I wanted to buy a short sale property, what's the best way to get started in looking for that? How do you find those houses?
You know what? Through the MLS, your realtor can actually look for houses specific to short sales, bank-owned, HUDs, estates. It's several different ways. So if you're just looking to buy short sales, the first thing I would suggest you do is contact your realtor or call my office, 614-444-2229. I would love to help you.
Okay. Now, do all real estate agents, do they all have access to the same list?
You know what? That's a great question. If you have a real estate agent who's not a realtor, they would not have the MLS, but all realtors should have the MLS. But we also work with homes that before they even go onto the market. So when you call our office, we have a list, or sometimes we have the ability to get you homes that have not even been on the market yet.
Okay. And is there a special kind of financing you have to have for a short sale, or I mean, how does that work?
You do have to get financed. That's a great question. I get people asking that all the time, like, can I rent the home? You do have to get financing for short sales. It depends on the condition if you are able to get FHA or conventional or VA financing through it, though. And most short sales are sold as is, where is. There are no warranties or no repairs that the seller will make.
Definitely call her. And Tom, if you need some assistance with the financial side of it, wanting to know what you qualify for when it comes to the real estate financing, you can give us a call or email me at Atiba@youbefine.com. That's Atiba@ubfine.com. Or you can call me at 614-578-1623, and we'll be able to give you all the insight on what you qualify for based on the type of home that you're looking for.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I know I've been looking in the market, and everyone I've talked to seems to say that there's a lot of great deals if you look for a short sale house. That's kind of the route I think I'm going.
Hello? Yep. I'm sorry, I thought I lost you. Especially if you are an investor looking to buy properties, going the short sale route is very, very conducive. With the investors who are, and there's so many investors out there that are trying to buy properties. With HUD, there's a waiting period before you can buy investment properties. It goes to primary residence first. With bank-owned properties, it's a 14-day seasoning. With short sales, there is none. And usually you can get a great deal because the homes are in need of repair. And oftentimes the seller would like to stay and be a tenant. So if you're looking to make cash money off of real estate, now is the time. You need to call me as well.
Okay. And what was your email site again?
My website is www.theaskabbyteam.info, and you can call, I'm sorry, www.theaskabbyteam.com, or you can call me at 614-444-2229.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That was a lot of good info. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, Tom. Hey, we have Ms. Carter on the phone.
Hi.
How you doing, Ms. Carter?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for calling in. What question do you have?
I'm really interested in purchasing a home, but I really want to make sure that I buy a home that has a good resale value. How do I determine if my house will increase in value in this market, and do you think I'll be able to upgrade within 5 years?
That is a great question. Now is the time to buy. Since the beginning of this thing, they've said that we'll be going through this until 2014, which is around the street. Right now, the homes have such a great potential for resale in 5 years. All the polls that we have saying it's going to get a lot worse before it get better, but within 5 years, we most definitely should be on the upswing where it'd be a seller's market again. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Because I was trying to choose between should I buy a smaller house in a great location or get a twice as big house in a good location. Like, because it's just me and I'm single and I know it's a bad economy and I'm finding a lot of great deals, but the house is huge and I'm thinking of the holding costs, you know, more light bill, more, you know, just everyday costs. So does it make sense to go for the big house and do the utility upkeep investment early, or should I get a great house that's small, that's more affordable, and then just wait my
The key word there was
to make a profit and upgrade.
The key word there was affordable. I will always suggest you get what you need, not what you want or what somebody else have. I mean, you most definitely want to get your wants, but that maintenance and upkeep is a utility for seriously. If you're looking to make money in real estate, I suggest you buy more than one property instead of tying over one. You can, now's a great time to use real estate as a second income so far as rental income, and I suggest the parents, being a landlord is not for everybody, we're going on a different subject, but I really suggest for parents to own a house per child. It's a great way to give inheritance. When they graduate, it's a great way to send them to college, and they're not in your pocket. You can sell the property most definitely, and even if they decide not to go to college, give them as a gift to start their own business or whatever. But I most definitely tell my clients that you should, especially right now, own a house per child.
You know what else? You seem to have a lot of great information. Here's something else I was trying to decide. Should I get an updated home in an older neighborhood, or should I get a newer home in a more modern neighborhood? Which one do you think makes much more sense as an investment?
Home inspector. That's a great question. I have seen some new homes that have been poorly built. And so you get in that new home with a new flair, but you're going to have a lot more repairs, which are real costs, and they come at one time. You're no longer a landlord where you can call and ask somebody to fix it. Also, I've seen older homes, which needs updating, but the nuts and the bolts of the home is in great condition. So your home inspection is so important. Please, whatever you do when you buy a home, invest in a home inspection. So if you get a older home, you may have more of a value, and you more than likely can get more space, for more bang for your buck.
I have one last question. I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I'm getting some really good answers. Okay, so when buying a new home, and we're in a negotiation period, and you found this great house, and you're going back and forth with the owner, what upgrade should we go for? Which ones hold the most value?
You know what? The kitchen and the bathrooms are going to always hold the most value because it has more mechanicals. Other rooms have a room in the closet and a light. But when it comes to so far as your expense and your bang for your buck, the kitchen. And you spend a lot of time in both, the kitchen and bathrooms. So when it comes to appliances, I would not just go crazy over that. I know everybody likes stainless steel, but that's jewelry. That's jewelry to a pretty woman. You want to stay focused on the electrical, the plumbing, to make sure that everything is good, that it's spacious, and not only that, open, and that it flows, and that it has things that will function for the next person who buy your home, which will make it desirable to someone else.
You have been really helpful. Thank you so much.
You're the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Carter, for calling in. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Abby. Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with our listeners. You do have some very, very valuable information, and we're getting so close to the end of the show, but I want to make sure everyone knows who you are, how they can get in contact with you, and why they should use you. So go ahead and give me your spiel about you, Abby Moore.
I'm friendly. No, friendly professional, and I have a team, and we are looking to most definitely add to that team. So if you're interested in real estate, or if you're already in real estate, and you're looking to work with a team that's trying to really, really make things happen in 2012 and beyond, please give me a call as well. In addition to myself, you'll be working with Mary Funderburg. Felicia Sherman just joined the team, and she specializes in Pinkerton and Canal Winchester, some of the southeastern suburban area. So again, my number is 614-444-2229, or visit my website, or like me on Facebook. I always post homes, so if you want to just see what's out there, you're not really ready to buy, let me know. And also, if you have cash money, if you're looking to buy homes anywhere from $10,000 to $60,000, and you have cash money, you're really trying to be a player in this real estate game, give me a call. I work with investors every day. And right now it's income tax season. I would like to leave you with the fact to invest in yourself first. Before the televisions, before the new clothes, before the, you know, the Wees and the big gangs for your kids that cost hundreds of dollars. Invest in you and your family. Use that money to get your credit that you've been wanting to get repaired for 5-10 years, to pay some of the bills down so that your overhead can be less so you can afford a home. Go to CHP, which is homeport.org, or call your Columbus Urban League, which is a great resource, Samaritan Project, or call my office if you're looking for free help just to get you started. So far as education, 2012 is the year of investing in self.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Abby Moore, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. If you need some more assistance, if you need someone to hold your hand when it comes to the credit restoration or buying a home or doing life insurance or health insurance or investing or just trying to create financial stability, please give me a call at 614-578-1623, or you can look up my website, and that's youbefine.com. That's ubefine.com. You can also contact me by email at atiba@ubefine.com. We're definitely trying to empower our community, help everybody get back on path to create some financial stability. Remember, a vision without a plan is just a hallucination, but a vision with a plan is innovation. Now, next Thursday, we are not on the air. I will actually be on the live access channel on TV, so please look me up on the access channel in Columbus, Ohio, and the show is called The Access to Business Opportunities. We'll be sharing some more insight on how to create financial stability. We'll actually be on TV. Also, if you want to listen to us locally, this show will re-air on 98.3 on Wednesdays and Thursdays, so definitely look us up. And if you miss some of my past shows, once again, go to talktainmentradio.com and look up Financially Fit for Life, and you can look up some past shows that we've had and recorded before. Actually, it's 92.3, actually. The producer's telling me that the new, we just went local, so this is a new thing for us. We're always on the internet all around the world, but we're on our local show, and it's 98.3. Okay. So it is 98.3. Once again, if you want someone to hold your hand, please give me a call to 614-578-1623. Check me out. Look up my website, ubefine.com. We are creating financial stability for 2012. We will provide you with the tips and the techniques to become financially fit for life. Once again, Abby Moore, how can they get in contact with you?
Call me directly in the office, 614-444-2229. Again, that's 614-444-2229. Or you can email me at abby@theaskabbyteam.com, and that's ABBY.
I mean, we're finishing up, but what kind of tips and techniques, just to finish up, that you can give our listeners out here on how to become a successful homeowner, or what they should be doing if they're thinking about a short sale and things like that? So just give us a quick little tip that you would give a homeowner.
So far as the buyer, successful homeowner, start looking now via web. Everything is out there. We syndicate our homes to probably 100-plus websites. Like I said, in addition to Facebook, get your education and start planning and saving and budgeting now. So far as a short sale, if you are having difficulties and you don't see that it's going to change and you have decided that moving and relocating your family is the best, what we want you to do is call in for a one-on-one consultation. Every situation, we most definitely understand. We treat your situation not only with the utmost respect, but also your family. This is a very, very difficult time for everyone, and we are sensitive to that. And we will do everything we can to make you help, to make your situation a positive. And not only that, if you know for sure that you can't keep your home, if it's too much for you, know that it's your first home, not your last home, or your second home. After you do a short sale, and you asked this question earlier, how would it affect my credit? What we have seen, and every lender has the right to do things differently, but what we have seen is on your credit, it would say settle for less than what is owed, the same way if you made a settlement with your credit card. Most banks, when you're going to rebuy, are looking, going to ask you to wait for 2 to 3 years before you can rebuy. But you can rebuy again. If after foreclosure, you can rebuy. After short sales, you can rebuy.
And if you need some assistance cleaning up your credit or anything, once again, give me a call, 614-578-1623. Look me up, youbefine, ubefine.com. This is talktainmentradio.com, the world's greatest radio, and this is radio the way it should be heard. I am Atiba. Thanks for joining me. This is Becoming Financially Fit for Life on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio,
the way it should be heard.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true."